The title of today's talk is Now. Which can stand for natural, open way. Now. If we are in God, of God, from God, by God, you would think there would be a natural inclination to know that. However, there are many ways to climb a mountain or to get to the top of a mountain. More ways now than there ever were. Now we have airplanes that you could parachute out of. We have, which we never had in earlier times, and we have climbing ropes and professional equipment and professionals to show us the way to the top of the mountain. There's many different types of paths. Some are very sheer-faced paths where you have to climb up very sheer cliffs if you can manage it. And there's other ways up the mountain around the other side that are very, let's say, tapered and more gentle and easier to ascend. There's all kinds of trails and ways up a mountain. Same mountain, many different approaches to getting to the top of the mountain. Getting to experience at one moment with soul has many different approaches. The problem that we all face in the biological body is that the methods of the biological body are not synonymous with the methods of the spirit. And by that, one needs to really examine motive of action. We might think that because we have a soul, our motive would be to attune to the soul. But that's not true. From the moment of birth, when we forget our connection to the soul, our motives become biological. Physiological needs, biological needs, and then emotional conditioning needs. Hypnosis of the ego. So, even though it's natural, because there's a soul within us, we don't naturally attune to it. It's a struggle. Birth is a struggle, period. And what it does is it ignites the pathology of addiction to fight and flight, to the sympathetic nervous system, anxiety and fear. It's a struggle to be cut off from the umbilical cord connection and to have to breathe rather than to be fed oxygen through the umbilical cord. Everything is new and stressful. And so what happens is that severing of the way we were, let's say, nurtured and we grew within the womb is cut off suddenly, and everything, all the gears change. So we're shocked, literally shocked, into the body to want to find ways through the body of how to survive, what to do. So it's also very natural to struggle to stay with what we're getting fed through the sensory world, as opposed to what we are being fed through the spirit, while the spirit is within. We are beginning to cut it off. It was a shock. It is shocking to be born. So the idea that we should stay spiritual from birth ain't gonna happen. There's very rarely that a birth also brings with it a full-blown active connection to the spirit, in which it is the primary motivation, no matter what the biological needs are. So the thing that's important is that you be kind to yourself in understanding that this is a test. This is a test going on. You have earned through lifetimes the ability to be brought to the knowledge of the path of the masters, to help you reconnect with the nature, the natural open way back. What is the open way back? It's to open rather than shut down. So open-hearted, open-minded aren't just cute little phrases. Open means uncontracted and shut down. And what gets shut down is the frequency of openness to receptivity of direct connection towards the spirit. The tension of biological survival actually shuts down receptivity to the spirit. So it's natural that we're not attuned, but the, let's say, mandate is to attune to the inside, more refined frequency of the soul, i.e., finally, soul power, God power. If God is the creator, then you see, we don't just get it because our parents didn't get it, and their parents didn't get it, and society at large doesn't get it. That the soul has priority over the biological body, but the ego mind, the biological conditioned mind, doesn't believe it. And so the path of the masters is the way back is to open energy fields that have become closed down through tension, through the conditioning of the biological, egotistical personality. I want, I need, this should be that. And while we are being, quote, quote, urged to come towards the open heart, and we're being urged to come to the open mind, everything around us is suggestive of separation and closed offness, self-protection, as opposed to spirit is in all things, and it will do what it does. And to trust it, to begin to feel connected to it in a way in which we keep faith with it, as opposed to reverting back to fight and flight in the sympathetic nervous system. We're entering in an age where AI, artificial intelligence, is going to take us on a whiplash trip. Because it is new and it's powerful, we are slow and very likely susceptible to being overmanaged by it, as we are technology. You watch young people and they don't want to communicate verbally with people. They want to talk on the phone. They want to talk on their mobile units. And they spend very little time in actual social interface with friends. They are busy just listening to something or going to their social media, getting fed what kind of information and who's filtering it. Mm. 8 billion people on the planet have access to your kids and to you. So the natural way open is that the tension of technology, it comes with tension and we don't understand it. You're getting vibed by your phone when it's just buzzing beside you, or you're carrying it around. You're carrying it around because you're afraid of not carrying it around. You're afraid of not carrying it around because you might miss a call. A call that your ego mind deems important, not your spiritual consciousness. Your ego mind deems important. So here you are, the victim, and not knowing where and how you are a victim. You're a victim on all kinds of levels because you no longer have, let's say, the inclination to do certain things that you did generation ago, i.e. read a book rather than listen to a book. To listen to a news broadcast rather than talk to your neighbor. You don't realize that you're being conditioned on many, many different levels by the technology that has advanced very rapidly and consumed all kinds of historic ways that you would have been behaving 50 years ago, 25 years ago. We were going through all of our atlases and saying, do we need these anymore? Do we need a stack of atlases? No. Do we need a stack of encyclopedias? No. You see? Do we need 20 cookbooks? No. So here we are. We're being relegated to a whole new way. We're being primed and conditioned, and we don't even realize that what's sitting around on our shelves and that is obsolete. Now, that doesn't mean you can't buy a book and read it and it wouldn't be good for you. But do you want to store that book? Do you want to pay the price for the book and then store the book for 10 years and then try to give it to, donate it to the library or someplace where it's, you see? Here we are. So the idea that we are being primed ever faster and more subtly to not be in touch with our soul, to rely on faster and faster and more indiscriminate information, preoccupied with the latest downloads. What's the news flash? What's on the opening page of your iPhone? Blah, blah. And whoever gave authority to iNews to tell you, you shouldn't be eating apples, or you should be eating apples, or you shouldn't be eating ripe bananas, or you shouldn't be taking, or you shouldn't be doing. You know, did you ask for that service? Is that service really serving you, or is it serving advertising? Oh, you see, in the pretext of serving you, they're actually priming you to think something's wrong with you if you don't. To create an anxiety of attention. And you don't even realize that that's the source behind it. It's intentionally priming you to think there's something wrong with you if you don't. Isn't that what teenagers are frightened of? they don't fit in, they won't have. It used to be the movies, you know. I always give the example of the Farrah Fawcett Majors back in the, you know, 80s, 70s and 80s. All the young women wanted to have Farrah Fawcett long hair, and they wanted to have her type of jeans and her type of shirt and that sort of thing. Yeah. And then there, of course, was Marilyn Monroe, and why would the Kennedy boys have a fascination with Marilyn Monroe? If it wasn't that they were being spoon-fed her quote-quote sensual attraction. And who was making her so attractive? She wasn't naturally that way when she was younger, but Hollywood did whatever they did. One of the movie stars said, "Oh, it's easy to be a movie star. All I have to do is say nothing, look at the camera, and be stupid." They didn't want them to have a mind of their own. A mind of their own. The acting is not a mind of their own. So, are actors being conditioned not to have a mind of their own, to do the ridiculous things they do in movies, or to do the scary things where they need to have, you know, people stand in for them to jump off a cliff or to get in a motor crash or whatever, you know? Why would you do that to yourself? Think about it. Why would you think it's worth life and limb to be in a mock-up automobile accident so you can look big and strong and tough and get money? Did it make you more spiritual? Did it make you closer to your spirit? Maybe you were praying all the way to the crash. But, you see, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up as a society, with societies, that there's something wrong with being quiet. There's something wrong with being still. There's something unuseful about us if we're not money grabbing or rubbing or whatever you want to call it. So all of that creates tension. Everything from the day of birth creates tension in one way or another. And so learning to relax is really a skill. And if we don't learn to relax and open and get rid of the anxiety pathology that fight and flight produces, one of the things that's interesting in some of the new research they're doing on the brain is and not only just the brain, but the brain connection, is how powerful and important the vagus nerve is. The vagus nerve apparently can be, it appears to be a major controller of the stomach to brain connection. So not only is the parasympathetic nervous system important and part of the conditioning towards the vagus nerve, but the vagus nerve needs to be over and over stimulated because it sits in the middle of the decision of whether or not things open or close in your body. So the idea that we keep feeding our bodies on adrenaline and cortisol and all of these tension chemicals, that's why smiling is instantaneously important, because it activates the vagus nerve. It activates the vagus nerve. And one of the things that they've discovered, strangely enough, is that one of the reasons they think that dogs have become so closely associated with humans is because they learn to smile, to mimic the smile of the human face, which activates their vagus nervous system. Interesting. So, if we don't up-train and up-strengthen the vagus nerve, which seems to be a control center for relaxation, for joy, and even for the ability to be loving, then So it's important to understand that joy is not an option in enlightenment. It just isn't. It's not an option. We have to develop the technology of joyfulness. And relaxation for opening the cellular structure and allowing our attunement towards spirit. And why is the news bad news? Because anxiety produces neediness, need to know. If you're relaxed, it's like, you know. But if you're tense, you want to know. Am I going to be safe? Is it safe? What's going on? So we've been bamboozled into chronic tension. And chronic tension creates chronic subservience in one form or another to the boss, to the teacher, to the kids on the play field, the bullies, the, you know, the pretty girl, the, you know, the handsome boy. We're chronically subservient to something other than spirit. So yes, it's a difficult way, but to remember that open is what we're after. Open communication to the spirit. And anything that creates ongoing contraction in any form for any reason, anxiety of any kind, is something that is at odds with your attunement to the spirit. So it's not just, you know, a cute idea. It's not just a good idea. It's a necessity. So, natural, open way, now, those letters, now. Now is manageable. If you're now, managing now, and your brain isn't going over, well, I should, or it could, or it, all the imaginings of conditioning are not now. Now is manageable. And so if we relax now and we let go of the anxiety of later or of the past, I really goofed up. I bet I'm gonna get, you know, the boss is gonna be mad at me. I goofed up, blah, 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 you know. Or they won't like me because, you know, I mean, how many kids do you listen to the language that they use about anxiety over their behavior and if they fit in and if this group accepts them or that one doesn't, blah, 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 or will they or won't they? Are they going to win? Are they, you know? I mean, football heroes. Really? Come on. A football hero is that important? That we build stadiums for them? To run down and crash into each other? And it's been going on since the dawn of history. Armies clashing. Big, strong, you know, gladiators, that sort of thing. The history of gladiators, the history of war. Human history is about ridiculous behavior. Really, it's about ridiculous behavior. Who won the war and who built the biggest pyramid and how deep in the ground could you put a sarcophagus with all kinds of gold and stuff for the other world? Oh yeah, you know, and how many people died doing it? How many people died building a sarcophagus in the ground? Oh my gosh. For us to dig up, 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, 4,000 years later. Well, maybe you're digging up your old self, but, you know, who knows? So the important thing is to understand the power of open, the power of joy, the power of love, and the relaxation of it, because it strengthens the power of the vagus nerve, which is a top controller of openness, communication on an open, relaxed line. So it's not just the fight and flight, the sympathetic nervous system, and not just the parasympathetic nervous system, but they're overridden by the vagus nerve. But we haven't really understood the power of that. But it's powerful. So, the important thing is, can you make those decisions? Can you really get together with yourself and say, you know, life in the body is really nauseating when you think about it. And the idea that it's so stilted towards away from spirit. Society is stilted away from spirit. And with the amount of speeding up information and manipulation through technology that is advancing faster than humans seem to be able to control it, stepping back and saying, whoa, you know, how fast a train do I want to be on? What's it getting me to be tense? And what is it preventing to be tense? Our friend Kabir You are sitting in a wagon being drawn by a horse whose reins you hold. There are two inside of you who can steer. Though most never hand the reins to me, capital M-E. So they go from place to place the best they can, though rarely happy. And rarely does their whole body laugh, feeling God's poke in the ribs. If you feel tired, dear, my shoulder is soft. I'd be glad to steer a while. How humble is God? God is the tree in the forest that allows itself to die and will not defend itself in front of those with the axe, not wanting to cause them shame. And God is the earth that will allow itself to be deformed by man's tools. But he cries, yes, he cries, but only in front of his closest ones. And a beautiful animal is being beaten to death, but nothing can make God break his silence to the masses and say, "Stop, please, stop. Why are you doing this to me?" How humble is God? Kabir wept when I knew. Well, you hear the message. There's only one thing that you can do. There's two things. Ignore it. Or do something about it.